guys, welcome to a very, very special review for the Here's Johnny podcast. Not only is it Silent Hill 2, but we have a guest. Whitney, say hi.
Hi.
So Whitney got a hold of us way back when we reviewed Deadly Premonition, and she blew our minds with all her facts, and she didn't hate us when we didn't love it as much as she did. So that was really, really, really nice.
Yeah, I really love Deadly Premonition. It's one of my favorite games, and I have a lot of feelings for it. But I can't hate anybody who has issues with it. It's not a very well-made game.
But with that, we're going to get to know Whitney a little bit better. And our first question we ask all our guests, Whitney, what is your favorite scary movie?
I guess The Shining.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know. There's just something about it. It's just creepy without, you know, a lot of gore and stuff. I mean, there's like little snippets here and there, but It just has this oppressive feeling when you're watching it as things just ramp up. It's very tense. I really like that.
Are you excited for Dr. Sleep?
Yes. I saw the trailer. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I'm actually really, really, yeah, I'm very, very excited too. I actually really like that book. And Ewan McGregor is one of my favorite actors. So
oh,
I
yes.
think he'll play a great old Danny Torrance. I'm really, really excited for it.
Does he age? Because it doesn't seem like he does.
No, he looks the exact same as he did when I fell in love with him in Moulin Rouge. So
I know, exactly.
All right, so the next question, and this one might be tough for you.
Okay.
What is your favorite horror game?
I can't decide between my two babies.
So I will give you two. You can pick them both, but you need to justify why you have to pick them both.
Okay, I'll justify Deadly Premonition and Silent Hill 1.
Okay, why is that?
Because Deadly Premonition's awesome and I run a fan site for it, and Silent Hill 1 is because it's awesome and I run a fan site for it. I can't decide.
When did you first play those games?
Silent Hill, I was there from the beginning in 99, and Deadly Premonition right when it came out, 2010.
Oh, wow. So what was your feeling when Konami was talking about a big special announcement this week and it ended up just being the TurboGrafx?
Oh, well, I didn't get my hopes up because my hope for a new game died long ago.
Do you think we'll get another Silent Hill game?
Honestly, no.
Really?
Mm-mm. Unless it's Pachinko. Maybe then.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've only played two so far, and I was going to get into the review here in a little bit, but that actually makes me really sad. I know there's some gems coming up here in the franchise, but the first two have been great.
Well, those are usually people's favorites. Two is actually most people's favorite of the series. So,
I told Justin a little bit, but I don't think that's the case with me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So we will get into that. Next,
I'm surprised.
What is your favorite horror book?
Horror book? Can't say I really read a lot of horror novels.
Okay. You can pick a graphic novel too. I'll let you cheat a little bit.
Shit.
If you get like 30 Days a Night or something.
Oh, I did like Stephen King's son. He wrote a book, their little collaboration. I forgot the name of it, but it was set in the field with a creature in the field. People get lost there.
Like from Children of the Corn?
Not Children of the Corn. It was, it came out in like 2010. It was a short story. Give me one sec. Let me look it up. Wow, he wrote a lot of short stories. So maybe I shouldn't go there because I can't find the name. Shit.
That's fine.
It was a long time ago. Oh, you know what? I did like Joe Hill's Heart-Shaped Box. Did you guys read that one?
No. What's it about?
It's about this musician. Who is getting haunted by ghosts and they're trying to kill him, pretty much. Apparently, he's a womanizer, and one of the last groupies he had ended up killing herself, and now, like, her father is trying to kill him from beyond the grave. But there's more to it than that.
Is Joe Hill the same writer who wrote The Fireman, I think it's called? Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, okay. I'm on board the Joe Hill train.
All right, next question. What is your favorite horror monster? And monsters
horror
in quotations.
Monster.
So you could technically pick Jack Torrance if you want to. So kind of like horror villain.
Mm. I'm going to say the Blair Witch.
A lovely choice. Why is that?
Because we don't know a lot about her, and she seems, I guess, takes different form if you're going to go with the latest movie. But mm-hmm. I just liked how we never got to see her in the original film. She was just like this presence that that would creep in on you and whatnot.
Oh, trust me, Blair Witch is my favorite horror film, so I absolutely understand where you're coming from.
It's one of my, it's like my favorite found footage film.
Yeah. Blair Witch, I really credit Blair Witch and the Faculty to really fostering a love of horror. So I can absolutely see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right. Last question before we get into this wonderful game review. Do you have a least favorite trend in horror? So for example, mine is torture porn. Not a big fan of like the graphic violence.
Yeah, that's me. I can't do movie gore or anything like that. So I really do not like torture porn. It's just, ugh. Yeah. So that's scary. It's just gross.
Yeah, like sometimes like less is better for sure, and like I definitely see the need for it in some situations. But even though I like Eli Roth, and I always will, because Cabin Fever was just a really great fun time when I watched it, like Green Inferno was too much for me.
I won't even watch it. I know it's gonna be pretty bad.
Yeah, I almost threw up in the theater. It was awful. It was very, very, it was a lot. That's a whole lot. But with that, we're going to go ahead and bring Justin back in. And we are going to get into the Silent Hill 2 review.
Yay!
This episode's coming out during our summer movie marathon, and there were no like games coming out this summer that we were interested in, and you know, because you responded out to us about our review on Silent Hill. Mm-hmm. And I really, really, really like Silent Hill.
I was so glad you did.
Oh, I loved it. It's definitely my favorite game we played in this podcast. That includes the Resident Evil 2 remake. And
wow.
Yeah. We decided to review Silent Hill 2 because we both wanted to play it. Justin loves the game.
I love it.
And we just didn't want to wait any longer. But we also, because you have been so awesome and you send us great emails, we took a flyer and shot you an email, and you were willing to come on with us, and we're super excited about it.
I'm always up to talk about Silent Hill.
So with that, not only, like you said, you run a fan website, and you're a Guinness World Record holder for Silent Hill memorabilia.
Yeah. I also collect Silent Hill merchandise. And
oh, do whatnot. You really?
Mm-hmm. I've been collecting since, like, seriously, I guess, since 2004 and, you know, over a decade and two. It's grown, and my friends have always been like, hey, you probably had the biggest collection. I'm like, I doubt that. So I just send it in on a whim, and Guinness was like, nope. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. But then they like emailed me a couple months later, like, hey, yeah, we want to add that category. So please do this shit. And I did it, and I'm in there. It's not like the biggest record or anything, but it's still kind of neat.
No, it's That's amazing. So crazy. You're like in the Guinness World Record book. That is amazing. And not only that, but because you are so knowledgeable and such a fan of this, you have said you'll do the production notes and the 60-second plot summary. So
yes.
Justin and I are going to kind of sit back, ask you questions, but kind of give us the production history of this game.
After the success, the surprise success of the original Silent Hill, the corporate and the dev team thought it was going to fail as they were making it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were completely floored by the success it had. Konami was eager to make a sequel and make some more money. Development began in June 1999, and the story was conceived by CGI director Takayoshi Sato, who based it on Crime and Punishment, with other individual members of the team collaborating on the actual scenario.
The Jane Austen book? Sorry.
Crime and Punishment? No.
That's Crime and Punishment? Is that Tolstoy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I get all those lovey-dovey, sad romance novels mixed
Pride
up.
Pride and Prejudice is my favorite novel.
Oh, really? See, I like Wuthering Heights because Heathcliff is bitter and cold
Okay. So he based it on Crime and Punishment, an 1866 novel, Russian novel, with other individual members of the team collaborating on the actual scenario. Most of the writing was done by Hiroyuki Owaku, who was originally the event and enemy programmer on the first game, but it was Sato who came up with the dialogue and storyline for all the women. He was even responsible for fleshing out the history of the town, like, so the stuff about the executioners, the prison, all that good stuff. It's stuff that he came up with.
Okay.
Most of the original creative team from the first Silent Hill returned to work on the game, but this time they were not alone. With Corporate Eager, there was not only a bigger budget to work from, but they also had a lot more staff involved this time. The dev team practically tripled in size, going from a mere 15 to 50.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm. So Konami was very eager to get this out. This wasn't the only big change. There was also a shift in how they approached development with Silent Hill 2. With the first game, the team had been more invested in making something horrific first and then worrying about like the story later. As Sato put it in an interview with IGN back in 2001, they essentially designed environments first and then made a story to fit them.
Okay.
Since the team already had a firm grasp on what the environments were going to be like making the sequel, the team chose to instead work out the entire story before starting any designs within the game. According to Sato, this also helped make the town more realistic. Fun fact, did you guys know that the team looked at Tomb Raider at the beginning of the project to study how to make 3D worlds?
I did not. That's weird.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see that. In an interview, I was like, what? Tomb Raider? Okay.
It looks a lot better than Tomb Raider, because I own all the Tomb Raider games. I have a very, very big crush on Lara Croft, actually. My Funko is sitting right behind me on the wall. But this looks miles and miles better than Tomb Raider.
Oh, yes. Thanks to working on less limited hardware, there was also a big step up in the graphic department, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
One cool feature, besides more realistic graphics, was the ability to show shadows of monsters on the wall and dispersing fog effects. They also had a new sound technology to play with, provided by Sony to play with, called S-Force 3D Sound Library. With this new tech, players could hear sounds coming from different directions, which will allow them to determine where enemies are from before they appeared on the screen. For example, if there is a monster behind a door, they'll be able to hear sounds coming from the direction of that particular door. So I
noticed that, but it did not help me when the patient demon crawled out from underneath the van.
Oh, yeah, they're sneaky. They're sneaky.
That did not help there.
They like to bite your ankles when you least expect it. But speaking of sounds, did you guys know Akira Yamaoka took recordings of over 100 footsteps for the game to add variety and to avoid redundancy within the game? He was really dedicated. Yeah. I was pretty surprised when I read that. He famously said in the making of Silent Hill 2 that silence is also a sound, and that all the footsteps he recorded sure went a long way in highlighting the eerie silences and lack of music in areas of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, he doesn't know how to read sheet music. He plays by ear.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He has no...
That's super cool. And he did the theme for Silent Hill 2?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he did this. It took, let's see, I think it was 3 weeks. He did the theme in 3 weeks. Let me double check on that.
It's amazing. It's absolutely beautiful. I am a huge fan of the music so far.
Sorry, not 3 weeks. 3 days. It took him 3 days to write the music for a theme of Laura.
I love the music in this game. Okay, damn. Continue.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know. It's supposed to be a scary game, but it's very
it's beautiful.
Melodic.
It's beautiful. It's the only way to put it.
It's not scary sounding music. It's just like, oh, this is good. I can work to this. Another big difference in the development was Sato's approach in designing the characters. In the first game, he had designed the characters immediately in 3D, but with Silent Hill 2, he first made drawing concepts. In fact, many of his sketches can be seen on his portfolio website. They're pretty cool. I can send you guys a link later.
Yeah, please.
To help capture realistic human faces for the cinematics, Sato says his team made a bunch of quick sketches of human faces to help catch motion, muscular, and feelings. What I think is pretty amazing is how well the CG in the game has held up over the years. Did you guys know that even though motion capture was used, all the facial animations were animated by hand?
I didn't even know they used motion capture for the character model.
Yes, they did. The voice actors acted out the scenes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. According to Sato, he didn't trust the quality of the face motion capture as it took the position of the skin and it wasn't exactly accurate. For example, like if you open your mouth, the muscles on the sides of your face will tighten, but that isn't something the motion capture system would detect, but it's something very noticeable when you just look in a mirror. So there was that sort of step up.
Okay.
What's kind of interesting about Silent Hill 2's monster designs is how different they are from typical monster designs in video games. There's no monstrous claws or fangs. Instead, creature designer Masahiro Ito decided to give them more of a human aspect. He wanted the player to think they were human at first, but then undermine it with weird movements and improbable angles for their bodies. So you mentioned a couple minutes ago about the line figure under the van.
Yeah.
I remember, I think it was in the making of Silent Hill 2 DVD. His design was actually inspired after seeing one of his coworkers wearing a hoodie with the hood up and the hands in the front pockets. He was like listening to a Walkman or something, and he was walking in a cool way towards him, and that inspired him to make that creature.
I can definitely see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This Silent Hill 2 documentary you're talking about is, mm-hmm. Can you find that on YouTube or anything?
Yeah. It was something that came with the special edition version of the European release, but it's definitely okay. On YouTube.
Okay.
I think it's about like 30 minutes long.
All right. I didn't know about that. I'm definitely going to check it out because I really enjoyed this game. All right, continue. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
Oh, no problem. Let's see. You know, Pyramid Head, Ito wanted to make a monster with a hidden face.
He had one hell of an entrance. We're going to get into that, but
he sure did.
Oh my gosh.
So like it was less human, therefore more disturbing. So a lot of these monsters, they don't have eyes and really visible mouths. It's very, very kind of disturbing in that aspect. His first idea was this monster with a super long cloth mask covering the head.
Okay.
And it's like attached to an apron via a cord. I can send you guys the picture. So that's what it looks like.
Oh my.
The original design. Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a plague doctor mask.
That's what I was thinking too.
Since
yeah.
The cloth comes together like a long trunk, it's just like deflated or something. But
Pyramid Head's better. I do like that, but Pyramid Head is
Yeah, looks cooler. But see, he's like, he realized it looked nothing more than a human in a mask. It wasn't really creepy. So he gave the creature a head shaped like a triangle. And the triangle has right angles, acute edges. Their sharpness suggests the possibility of pain. And the triangle shape also helps explain the monster's role in the game. What's kind of hilarious, though, is last December, Ito tweeted that his boss and half the members on the team weren't actually into his design. They thought it was too strange and weird, and now it's like one of the most defining creatures from the game. It's like Pyramid Head.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that they didn't like something that everybody knows about Silent Hill. I mean, people think it's in the whole series, but
well, yeah,
because
like when I was playing the first one, I commented during the
you
review.
You thought he was going to be in there.
Yeah, I kept waiting for him to pop out like Mr. X.
Yeah, he's very iconic and in the later games, they tried to put him in.
yes, unfortunately they did.
So he comes back?
Kind of.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Keep me in the dark. Keep me in the dark. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. I appreciate it. You guys are doing God's work. Continue.
Yeah. According to Lost Memories, he takes the appearance of an executioner of times past. This goes back to the whole backstory of the town.
Okay.
But he's actually James's monster. It's his consciousness that feels like he deserves punishment. I think we're going to probably get into that more when we discuss the actual game. Did you guys know that? So the main reason he attacks other creatures is because they're helping James's delusion. So it's like Pyramid Head is like his truth, reminding him of his guilt and what he did. Which is why he's always attacking.
So is that why we see Maria get killed multiple times?
Yes. So in fact, in the labyrinth, you can position a lying creature in front of him and he'll attack it and not James.
Is that down where you get the great knife?
Yes. Yes.
I did get that, by the way, guys. First playthrough, I found it.
Yeah. So
awful to use, though. I'll give that.
It's really
terrible
slow
to use.
But it just looks so cool, though. Come on.
I did use it to take out Maria when she was laying on the ground.
Oh no!
I'm sorry. Continue.
But there is apparently a neat trick. You can use the knife to take out the last two pyramid heads. You go into a corner and you're able to swipe them, and they can't get a hit in. I can't do it, but
really,
I
was terrified. I went to a corner and I never used my rifle until that fight. I just went to a corner and just unloaded. I would be terrified to do like a knife only run of this game. I feel like that'd be very, very, or a pipe only. I guess you don't get a knife at the start. You get the wood rod.
The 2x4? Yes. Yeah. The best weapon of the game.
I did use it up until the first fight with, wasn't the doorman. What was the first boss fight?
Pyramid Head?
Yeah, when I just kept running. Yeah, I died in that one because I shot all my ammo and then I found out through a quick Google search that you just had to,
You just had run to waste time.
Yeah, you just had to stay away.
So I believe it's like 7 minutes that you just have to waste time before he'll walk away.
Is that for speedruns too? I mean, maybe you don't know this, but I like speedruns. For speedruns, can you speed that segment up at all, or do you just have to burn?
Well,
time?
You can speed it up by shooting at him, but
okay,
you waste bullets that way. The nurses are also pretty famous.
Yeah,
everyone expects to see nurses. These are the quote unquote sexy nurses. But it's kind of interesting is...
For someone who's twisted a little bit, maybe.
Ida's been actually tweeting about some of his creature designs lately.
I saw that, and I loved it. Actually, his DMs are open, and I sent him a DM. Asked him to come on the podcast.
He doesn't speak English very well.
So that's probably why I haven't got a response.
He's learning. He's trying to learn English, though. But apparently their swollen heads are supposed to, I mean, it's been suggestive of Mary's hospitalization. That says in Lost Memories. But then he tweeted that their heads are like a metaphor for Mary's head under the pillow. And they shake their heads like they're struggling to shake off the vinyl covering their face, like Mary struggles to breathe.
Okay.
You know.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dark. Okay.
Very dark.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. I actually just learned this today while I was looking up some cool facts to tell you guys, but the bathroom in the opening scene, that's actually the visual Bible for the entire game, according to the art director.
What do you mean by the visual
Bible? Oh, like all the writing on the walls and stuff?
No, just the look of the bathroom. So the grody bathroom in the beginning of the game with the was the very first room that the art director modeled. And it's the first image created for the visual background. It kind of served as a graphic Bible for the other visuals in the game.
Okay.
So that grody bathroom, what you kind of saw and felt in there, just kind of spread out throughout the town.
Okay.
You know, things look wet or really grody. It's because of that bathroom. I'm sure you guys probably already know. You guys, they took real-life inspiration for the town from... San Bruno, California.
I thought it was a town in Pennsylvania where this, like, the coal mine caught on fire.
No, you're hurting me right now.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
No. That's Centralia, and that was an inspiration for the movie plot. It has nothing to do with the game.
I'm so new to the series. Give me a break.
it's not your fault. I see it all the time on... those listicles and stuff. 10 things you didn't know about Silent Hill. And as soon as I see it's based on a real town, Centralia, I'm like, you know. Close this right now. But Konami, they used to have their American offices in Redwood, California, in my neck of the woods. And so the team had come to visit and to take pictures and all that shit to get... visuals of American town this time instead of, you know, basing entirely on movies. So they actually went to San Bruno, which is right next door, and you can actually see several buildings that were on, well, I guess you wouldn't have known, because the street they based these buildings on, Neely Street, ended up being deleted It wasn't in the final game, but a lot of fans, when they visit, they try to find the buildings and take pictures. But there is something that made it into the final game, the apartment buildings. They're actually based on real apartments in SF.
Oh, so, I would not want to go to those apartments.
I actually want to know what they are, but... So, back in 2007, when 1UP was still around, they had a podcast, the Retronauts crew.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They sat down with Konami producer Tom Hewlett to discuss the Silent Hill series and presented various fun facts about past Silent Hill titles. And Tom revealed an interesting backstory to what influenced the design of the apartments. So... apparently, they're based off a real Konami of America staff member's home somewhere in the Bay Area. This staff member was showing them various apartments for, like, inspiration, and they weren't finding anything they liked for the game. And then that staff member apparently had to run home real quick for a jacket, and he took them with them, and they came with him to his apartment, and then were so enamored by the look, they just started taking pictures of everything, declaring that this apartment was perfect. I don't know how that guy felt about it.
I'd be kind of bummed out. Like,
wow, you really think my apartment looks that bad? Okay.
I think you'd have to move.
Yeah. So I thought that was really funny. I have, like, other random facts and stuff. I don't know if you want me to just go over it or... did you guys know that Maria's outfit's based on something Christina Aguilera wore to the Teen Choice Awards?
I saw that. Did you tweet something about that today on Facebook or Twitter?
Yes,
okay.
I
only know it because of that.
And Mary and Laura's outfits look like those of Nick Cage's wife in Con Air.
Oh my
God, it does. Mm-hmm. You just blew my mind. It absolutely does.
Okay, and another thing, you know the suffocation scene in the tape?
Yeah.
There was originally
huge tone change.
There was originally audio to go with it.
That would have been rough. Like, a lot more rough than it already was.
I guess they found it too disturbing, but I have it. So here you go. Someone put it to the actual video. You basically hear Mary.
I'm going to listen, Justin, if you're okay with that.
I'm also going to listen.
Another funny little thing is the letter that Laura hands to James, the in-game letter, has the lyrics to Bon Jovi's song Blaze of Glory on it, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's rougher, isn't it?
Well, I messaged Justin when I got to this scene. I was like, oh, my Lord. Like, I figured there was more to her death than what we were getting, but...
Yikes, that was rough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Okay.
I can see why they cut it, because it's hard to watch, or hear.
Yeah.
Very, very, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I guess one more small one.
Perfect.
Eddie is actually modeled after...
Chris Farley?
One of the Silent Hill 2's producer's real-life friend.
Oh, really?
Really?
But the guy didn't know. He's like, he doesn't have his personality. He just looks like him.
Okay. Yeah. So perfect. So now the big moment. You have 60 seconds to give us the plot of Silent Hill 2. Which ending do you want to use?
I used all of them.
Oh, my gosh. You're going for the... Okay, perfect. I'm going to give you a 3-2-1 countdown, and you can go.
Okay.
All right. 3-2-1, go.
James receives a letter from his wife, Mary, to meet her in their special place of Silent Hill. The weird thing is Mary's been dead for 3 years now, but James decides to go anyway. Unfortunately, the town has changed quite a bit since the last visit. It's abandoned, shrouded in fog, and full of dangerous creatures. James runs into Angela, a suicidal teen, looking for her mom, Eddie, a young man on the run, Laura, a kid also looking for Mary, and has no fear of the dangerous town, but most shocking of all is Maria, who looks just like Mary. James is stalked by Pyramid Head, who's a penchant for killing Maria over and over again. After two Maria deaths, jumping down numerous holes, killing Eddie and Roe across Toluca Lake, James makes it to his and Mary's special place, room 312 in Lakeview Hotel. Inside, he views a home movie and realizes that Mary then succumbed to illness 3 years ago, that he killed her recently. It wasn't Mary who brought him here. It was his own guilt and desire to be punished for his crime. Armed with this truth, he confronts two pyramid heads, then either Maria or Mary on the roof of the hotel. He then either commits suicide, resurrects Mary with an old ritual, leaves town with Laura, leaves town with Maria, skips the final fights all together and gets abducted by aliens or learn that a dog controls everything. The end.
Holy crap. That was the best we've ever had. Justin, wow. we need super fanfare for that one.
I will find something to match
perfect.
Oh, how much time did I have left?
I think I stumbled.
Oh, man. I did it.
That was amazing. Absolutely, unquestionably amazing.
Wow.
Okay, I have some questions from your summary, and we'll get into the plot then.
Sure.
So the ending... Well, I guess before we do that, stats for the game. I'm not sure if you guys wrote them down, but it was my first time.
Oh, I didn't.
I got the leave ending.
Mm-hmm.
It took me just under 2 minutes on the rowboat. I got 11 stars?
No. I don't think that's possible.
Well, there's three on top, and then a...
Okay, so you got three and then little stars, so that's like 3 point something.
Okay. So I got 3.8 then. And it took me 4 hours and 48 minutes to beat the game. My first
time. Oh, wow. That's pretty fast.
That's actually pretty fast, yeah.
Oh.
I think that's what mine was when I first played it. I think I had around like 4-something hours. And I believe my first ending was leave, but I was also following a guide. I wanted the best ending.
So
the happy ending.
So is leave considered the best ending?
No. Well,
because you said you could actually resurrect Mary.
Well, he goes to resurrect her. Yeah, we don't know if it works.
Is that what he was doing in the graveyard?
Huh? What?
Where does he go to resurrect her? Maybe I didn't see it because I only saw the dog ending.
I sent him the dog ending.
The dog
today.
Ending is the best ending.
Oh, I would have been furious. If that would have been the ending I would have gotten, I would have been so mad.
It wouldn't have been possible because you have to beat the game at least like twice.
That's what Justin was telling me, yeah. But I would have been mad.
but it's called the rebirth ending.
Okay.
And it's another one where you have to collect items to actually do it.
Okay.
And you just see him get into the boat with, I guess, Mary's body is already in there, and he rows out to an island onto the lake. You don't actually see the island. You kind of see it, but people have cam hacked it, and you can see that there's this church or whatnot, and he's going to try to resurrect her.
That's so really cool. Interesting. All right, yeah. So we'll start talking about plot. We usually do pros and then cons. The first thing that I have is that this was a very different and, to me, unconnected version of the town of Silent Hill.
Yeah, and people like to seem to forget this fact, but when it came out, people did not love it right away. They were very upset it didn't have a connection to the original Silent Hill.
Do you think that's why, I mean, number 3 happened? Like, the plot of number 3?
That's exactly why 3 happened.
I don't know what happened in 3. Don't tell me.
We won't talk about what happened in 3,
but from my own history, I remember PSM, they gave this game a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
And they called it not bad, but slightly disappointing, and said its foremost fault was that it was convoluted and confusing storyline, and it was like reading a poorly written novel. The article also had a huge spoiler image for the header. I don't know why. It was the Eddie boss fight with a caption reading friend or foe. So that was a
really?
Spoiler.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
The game, Masahiro Ito actually tweeted about this back in January. He said that the game didn't do too well in Japan either. He said that it didn't have good sales, and it was often insulted on the internet because it was not a legitimate sequel to the previous one, and its direction and creature design was really different from, you know, Silent Hill 1.
So I was actually really okay with the fact that it was a different story. Like, I have no problem with that, and I disagree with them saying it was like a badly written novel. I don't think that's the case, although I do have questions when it comes to the characters, right? Because we've already discussed that they all are kind of manifestations of James's mind.
Not all of them.
Yeah, well, like, the people aren't.
But that's my question, Eddie, Angela, like, Laura, like, who are they?
Okay, well, there's no, with Silent Hill, there's no, like, solid answer, really,
okay,
for anything. But from my own understanding, Eddie and Angela and Laura are all real people.
And they're kind of just going through the same hell,
so,
I guess, that James
they're
is.
Going for, like, their version of Silent
They
Hill.
Have their own issues. So, for example, when you meet Angela, she tells you she's looking for her mother.
Yes.
Right? But honestly, she's not really there looking for her mother. She's probably there to just kill herself. Because, did you read the newspaper article before the Abstract Daddy fight?
Abstract Daddy? Who's Abstract Daddy?
The first doorman.
Oh, I think so.
The boss doorman.
Yeah, I think so. I know, so my last interaction with Angela is we are on the flaming staircase.
Mm-hmm.
She asks for the knife back. She took it and walked up the stairs.
Yeah, and she said, he goes, it's hot as hell in here. And yeah. She goes, for me, it's always like this. So for her Silent Hill is like an inferno for her.
Okay.
And in the article, a lot of the stuff was cut out, little blank spots. You had to kind of fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
But the article basically said that a man was found dead. He was abusive to his children, and he most likely sexually molested Angela. She's supposed to be a teenager. She's supposed to be like 16. I know her voice and whatnot.
Oh, she does not look that young, but okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just picture like a 30-year-old playing a 16-year-old, and that's what she's supposed to be.
Okay.
Yeah. So she was there, I guess, because she felt guilty about killing her father. I kind of also wonder if she actually killed her mother as well for, not doing anything to stop it.
Protecting her, yeah. So what about Eddie and, in particular, Laura? Like, is Laura supposed to be, like, a younger version of Mary? Like, Maria is, like, an alternate version of Mary?
Well, Laura, as far as I know, she's a real girl.
Okay.
Little girl. And she stayed with Mary while she was in the hospital. And she she had her birthday the week before the game. She turned 8. Mm-hmm. Mary wanted to adopt her. I guess she was an orphan. And she came to Silent Hill to find Mary, just like James.
Okay. So, yeah, because I wasn't sure if, obviously, Maria was, like, a alternate version of Mary. I didn't know if Laura was, like, a younger version, if there's any connection. Because they kind of look similar. Younger, but they had the blonde hair and stuff.
I've never actually really heard that theory, but as far as I know, she's just a little girl. She's there to kind of clue you in that James is unreliable, is an unreliable narrator.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And then, how about Eddie?
Eddie, I'm not exactly sure what he did. I know for sure he killed a dog.
Yeah.
By shooting it. And he's complaining about being bullied and picked on. And whatnot, something about a football player. Maybe he shot him in the knee. But he's definitely running away from something. So maybe he was running away because he thought he would, get arrested for killing the dog or shooting that football player.
So I know in Silent Hill 1, you can avoid killing the cop. Is there a way to not kill Eddie? Or do you have to?
No.
Okay.
You have to kill him. Because he's gone crazy in his self-defense.
Yep. Okay, I didn't know. Okay, so this is my first time.
His Silent Hill, if you kind of notice, every time you meet with him, there's always a dead body next to him. So it's like he's come to Silent Hill, he has a gun, and he's basically shooting everybody who looks at him funny. And you're seeing those bodies around him.
Okay.
So I don't know if his Silent Hill is people making fun of him or what. We don't really have a clear picture of what he's seeing like we did with Angela.
Okay. The next pro I had, and this one we can kind of talk about if you guys disagree or agree with me, is that I really, really liked James's character evolution throughout the game. I liked how we were kind of built up that he was like what he was like the mission, and like you said, mm-hmm. there were characters throughout the story where we were kind of shown that maybe he's not an honest protagonist. And then, mm-hmm. like, him having to come to terms at the very, very end about what he did and what he has to do to accept it. Like, I guess I really liked that arc.
I really enjoyed that arc, too. When it came out, it was something very new at the time. And as you could tell, a lot of games try to replicate it.
Yes.
What's really interesting with James's character is, depending on what ending you get, kind of shapes how you see him.
Well, I was terribly sad. The Leave ending is so sad.
I'm sorry, this is a little tangent. You know that Monica Taylor Horgan, she did the voice of Mary Maria, that last scene where she's reading the letter, she did that in one take.
That was heartbreaking. And she,
what happened was, I think it was her mother had just died. And she had just gotten off the plane, and she was able to use that emotion to put into that letter.
Like no joke, it's been a very long time since I've wanted to, like, tear up or during a video game. And in particular, that part, I was, I was like, oh my it's God, like this is little, heavy.
The little hitch in her voice, like, James, you made me happy. It's like, oh no.
It was so, so good.
Yeah. Especially what kind of got me was when you're going through the hallway between fighting Pyramid Head, the Pyramid Heads, and then Mary or Maria. On the roof, and you listen to her full conversation.
Yes.
She's yelling at him, you know, saying mean things, but then she's like, wait, don't go.
Yep.
I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I stayed upsetting. I stayed around for that, too. I was, I am very shocked, because I finished the game today. I was going to beat it last night, but power outage, so I couldn't do it. But the game just got so sad, like, all of a sudden, and it was really, really heavy.
It was, it's a very depressing game. I would, so anyway, back to how you view James. I really liked his arc, but again, depending on what ending you get, you'll view him differently. So the Leaf ending, you're sad, and you think he's learned his lesson, but if you get the Maria ending, he hasn't learned his lesson, and he's bound to repeat the same mistakes.
So what happens in the Maria ending?
He leaves town with Maria.
Really?
And, like, doesn't she, and she, like, coughs at the end.
She coughs, and she goes, we gotta do something about that cough.
Oh, gosh. That's heavy, too!
Yeah, and, like, Rebirth, you know, he's trying to resurrect Mary. I mean, is she gonna come back normal? We don't know.
And then Water, he just, like, he commits suicide.
Yeah, he drives his car into the lake.
Jesus Lord.
That's the ending I believe Masahiro Ito likes, and same with Guy Sihi, who voices James. And that's him. He can't live without Mary, so he commits suicide. Also a change in if Mary forgives you or not. She definitely does not forgive you when you with the Maria ending.
Yeah. I can't imagine she would.
Because basically, he tells her straight up that, yes, I killed you. I was tired, and I couldn't do it anymore, and I wanted to be rid of you, pretty much.
So with the Maria ending, then, is the final boss Mary?
Yes.
Okay.
So instead of you turn around, he goes, Mary, she's sitting on the bed, and she and they have a conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't. Do you get the letter? I can't remember if you actually get the letter read.
I only got one ending, so I can't comment.
Other than leave, I don't really remember the ending. I mean, other than the dog ending. You can't forget the dog ending.
I would have been... I know it was impossible, but if I had gotten that, like, if it was possible to get on your first run through, I would have hated this game.
So, for Maria, what's also really great about this game is the subtle ways the game decides what ending you're going to get. So it's very, very subtle. To get the leave ending, you have to make sure your health is up throughout the game, like stays in the green status. So heal whenever you can. Go directly to any sort of story parts where you think Mary's going to be. You check out her photo in your inventory. You read the letter.
I do want to say, this is actually the first time playing this game I noticed that, like, the letter changes. Real? Well, the letter changes
through
it. It's a delusion. It's a delusion of James. That's why you can carry it onto the elevator.
Oh,
the letter and the photo.
I didn't know that. I got rid of everything, and I was terrified. By the way, I was not a fan of that sequence. I'm like, oh my God!
I'm used to
running away, but I don't want to ditch my stuff and run into the pyramid.
Were you really pissed off at the mannequin in the hallway?
No, because the mannequins were fine. I was more afraid of the nurses. The nurses were the only thing that caused me any kind of hell.
I was mad when I finally got my stuff back and went back down to the...
And they were gone.
They were gone. I'm like, you little... You knew I was going to kick your butt. Because Hytale didn't run. But the endings, you have to do a lot of certain little things. Like in Water, which is a suicidal James, you have to act suicidal within the game. You have to look at Angela's knife, you have to have your health in the red all the time. You have to read. There's a journal on the roof of the hospital that's very depressing about someone who
I read basically that.
Kills himself.
Yeah, I read that.
So there's all these little things that kind of add or subtract from your total whatever score to get the ending.
Okay.
Which is very, that's very really cool.
It's a lot more subtle than the original.
Yeah, the original is more like, hey, you have to get this stuff and save that guy and save the cop. Pretty clear. This one was a little bit more, you had to think about it. Like, hey, what do I do to change the ending? So leave is, I think, the most common ending. What's weird is in the guide, it said it was the hardest, but I don't think that's the case.
I mean, I played it blind and I had no problem getting it.
I thought the hardest ending to get, well, besides like the bonus endings, because you have to find things for it, was getting the Maria ending. Because to get to the Maria ending, you have to not let her get hurt at all. That means not bumping into her.
Oh, really? So, like, I did that.
If you run into her, that counts as hurting her. You have to protect her. And you have to check in on her. You have to listen to her directions. So, like, if she says to go to the bowling alley or whatever, you have to follow her and not do your own thing.
Okay.
You have to listen to everything she says. I had trouble getting that ending.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. The next pro I had, and I mentioned this in the first review, and I'm excited to see him, but the introduction of Pyramid Head will be a character introduction that I will never forget.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand the introduction's context. Like, I don't get why we had to see him raping a mannequin. Like, I'm assuming that's what he was
that
doing.
That wasn't his introduction.
Yeah.
You saw him in the hallway.
Yeah, he's just standing
some bars,
there. Yeah.
Standing there looking intimidating.
Was he wearing a helmet, though, in that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely saw that guy. Did not recognize him as Pyramid Head, though. I thought he was just like a like a zombie.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
It's he's right outside
the gate,
the
right?
Bars. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't see the head on him. Yeah,
you see the dead James in the chair in front of the TV.
There's a dead James in the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
You also see a dead James in the prison where you meet Eddie.
Oh, did not know that either.
I did not know that.
There's a painting in the cafeteria of the prison, and you see the guy that Eddie did not shoot slumped in the chair. But if you take a closer look, it's the guy is wearing a green jacket and blue jeans.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's,
I had no
that's
idea.
Definitely James.
Yeah.
So, all right. So,
but you're talking about the scene where he hides in the closet.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, Ito said recently that no, he's not fucking the monsters.
It really, really looks like it.
Know,
and there's
right?
another scene where you fight him, and it looks like he's doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, it looks like he's eating the monster out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you've picked up on the fact that he's violent and very kind of sexual motivated, right?
Yeah, he's a lot more deviant because, like I said, I never seen him before until, like, obviously this playthrough. But in my head, I always kind of envisioned him as a Mr. X, like from Resident Evil 2, right? Just like a menacing, torturing thing just lumbering towards you. He's a lot more deviant in many different ways.
Originally, he was supposed to stalk you more in the game.
I would have hated that.
In the apartments, in fact. There was apparently a demo, I think, in E3. If anybody has this, they're like, super lucky. But you see it in the E3 trailer. You see Pyramid Head walking around the apartments, and you have to hide from him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, weird.
So basically, you know, when you went and got his knife at the bottom of the labyrinth, it was like that, but in the apartments.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That would have been
terrible. I thought it would have been cool, but
it would have been cool. It would have changed that entire dynamic because, like, there was no real rush. Like, you could put down the mannequins and the patient demons, right? Really simple. But if Pyramid Head was out there, it'd be the same thing like Resident Evil 2, right? Like, your entire gameplay has to change up.
Yeah, I think it would have made the game a little bit more intimidating, I think, to play if you had that aspect. Personally, I found the game super easy.
You could
pretty much dodge most. I did a playthrough a couple years ago where I didn't kill anything unless I had to. So I only killed like the hanging guys in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Probably the doorman too. You probably have to kill him.
I had to kill the doorman, and I had to kill the two pyramid heads and Mary. But you can like go without killing any of the monsters.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I've played a lot of like knife only runs in Resident Evil for different like versions of the game, and you can do mm-hmm. the same thing in that. Like if you know where you're going and you know the puzzles, you can just run around them.
Fleshlip, that's the name of the monster in the hospital.
Oh.
I'm having a brain fart.
No, it's okay. Yeah. So I do have some cons though, and I would like to get your guys' mm-hmm. opinions. I know Justin loves this game, and obviously Whitney, you are a huge fan too.
York was led into my room, and he was about to start squeaking his toy nonstop.
York?
Yeah, it's my dog.
Francis York Morgan?
Exactly. His name is Francis York Morgan.
Okay.
I named him after him.
All right. Yeah. So my honestly, I have two complaints, but this is my biggest. In the original Silent Hill game, the town itself seemed to play an important part to the story. I don't know if I was missing something, or if I go back through and maybe read some more stuff like on the walls and get more background, but Silent Hill in this game seemed to be more of like just a moniker, not really integral to the story.
That's funny, because I thought that, at least in this game, the town became more of a character itself. You got a lot more history about how it kind of got to how it was. You found out that it wasn't just the stuff that happened with Alessa. Like, there's been stuff going down in that town years and years before, ever since, you know, the Native Americans were living there.
But was it Alessa, or was it just like a separate... See, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't think it was the same...
There was always something with this town that was off.
Okay.
But the way I view it, and this is not like something that's, you know, canon or whatnot, this is just my own theory, sure, is that there was always something with the town that had a dark history that was just like seeping under the surface. But then when the stuff with Alessa came by, it was like a dam opened.
Okay.
And the town, it seemed, with this game, the town itself seems kind of sentient, you know, it's able to take your fears and manifest.
And see, that's why I kind of thought that this game was like Silent Hill in this game to me seemed more like James's mind, not so much an actual physical location. Whereas in the first game, I felt like Silent Hill was an actual physical location. Does that make sense?
I can see that. I mean, you're seeing James's mind reflected in the town.
Yes.
Just like with Angela and Eddie, they're seeing their own reflection in their mind. So I definitely see that. But
What do you think, Justin?
No, I mean, I like the town itself better in this one.
Okay.
Like Whitney said, it becomes a character in this one, really. The first one, it's just a town that's got like some bad shit happening.
See, I see
it has it, a cult.
I do see that point, but I think that it's not Silent Hill that becomes a character. I think it's more of James's development, not so much Silent Hill.
I do have a question for you. Did you read like all the memos and stuff around town?
Whenever I found something, I definitely read it. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's how I read the boring stuff on top of the sad stuff on top of the hospital.
So like there's that monument. It talks about the blood swamp.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's this stuff.
There's pictures.
In the Historical Society.
And there's like a bunch of pictures and stuff.
The Historical Society, there's a little Easter egg in there. There's a picture of the staff, apparently.
The staff.
The developers of the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. It's very hard to see, but it's apparently there according to Lost Memories.
Okay.
That was a little.
But yeah, like I was saying, like I can definitely see where you guys are coming from, but I guess just for me personally, I really felt that the town in Silent Hill 1 was more developed, and I liked the lore of that town, because in this one, Silent Hill seemed more of just a manifestation of James's mind, and it could have been, I don't know, like Chicago, right? It could have been any town. It was just the town that James kind of latched onto to go through this trial.
Mm-hmm. No, I can see that. I'm just gonna say you're gonna like Silent Hill 3.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Oh, all right, cool. Well, I'm excited. And then my other con, and this is more, I didn't know whether to put this in gameplay or to put this here. So, Justin, you can yell at me if it's the wrong spot. But I feel like the puzzles in Silent Hill 1 actually like added to the story. And I feel like in this game, the puzzles, although better, and I actually liked how there's different levels of difficulty, but the puzzles were more just puzzles, not really like additions to the lore of the town. Do you guys agree or disagree with that?
I kind of agree. I mean, they're very like Resident Evil-esque. Where yes, just especially seem, the like, music box there. One. Yes. I agree. I like the puzzles in the first one.
Because they added to lore-wise. It, right?
Lore-wise. Yeah.
And like having to put the ring on the fridge and stuff.
But like no. functionality-wise, like they felt better to yes. do in this one, but they didn't add as much.
I think, and that's why I put personally. This here in plot instead of gameplay. Is that it didn't take away from the gameplay, it was just that the puzzles in the first game added to the story, whereas in this one they were just like you said, Resident Evil style. There to be there.
Though I am kind of curious, how did you think the puzzles in Silent Hill 1 added to the story?
So in particular, what I'm thinking about, Whitney, is when you have to go around and get all the occult items.
Okay, for the door, yes. The final door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. Actually how, what I was thinking about.
And how all those kind of okay. add up to it. That's the one, at least in my head, that I remember most clearly.
Where you got all the background yes. stuff from Alessa. Okay. So with Silent Hill 2... I felt it was kind of there, but instead of focusing on James, it was more focusing on the environment. And I'm thinking of right now is like Brookhaven, mm-hmm. like the puzzles in that game. You learned a lot about the type of patients that were locked up in there.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I thought that kind of added to the lore of the town, like the prison. The stuff you had to collect in there, you had to go through the cells and pick up items. You kind of saw who was locked up in there during
yeah, but like, so the Civil War. Staying with the prison, like the hanged man puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that didn't really add to James's story, though. That was more just a puzzle that fit the prison.
While very visually appealing, though. Like
it was good. Cool. Like I said, I am not knocking the puzzles. Like, that's actually a pro in gameplay for me. It's just that I liked, at least I got the impression in the first game, the puzzles added to something, whereas I did not get that impression in this game.
Well, I guess I agree with that, and because you are right. The more of the puzzles in Silent Hill 1 connected, like, with Alessa, like, straight up. Mm-hmm. This one is sort of kind of, it enhances the environment, the backstory of the town.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool, you know, to collect the items, learning about the executioners and all that stuff.
No, like I said, I liked it, and it's like I said, it's nitpicky, right? But mm-hmm. I feel like I have to, just because...
I like to think, you know, the notes that James keeps finding around town?
Uh-huh.
They're little creepy notes about, like, hey, maybe you should just die, or yeah. go get the wrench and whatnot. I always thought that maybe it was the director of Brookhaven writing those notes.
Why do you think that?
To him. Because you see, he gives you the note right at the end of Brookhaven, and I just feel like he seems like he's trying to lead James around, too.
Okay.
I don't know.
I can see it. No, I can
yeah,
see
I
it.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so with that, let's go ahead and give our scores. I gave it an 8. Justin?
I also gave it an 8.
And Whitney?
For the plot?
Yes.
10.
All right, perfect. Moving mm-hmm. on to gameplay. So I guess the first thing is that, I mean, the combat was your normal survival horror fare. Nothing, I didn't take anything really special away.
But you could block in this game.
Did not know that. How do you block?
I forget which button you push. Shoot.
I never really found a need to block. I was playing on normal.
But you can't be locked on to the creature.
Didn't know so you could can't lock on to a creature.
Oh, so you're not there is like kind of like an auto aim I think it's yes. Yeah, so you can't be locked onto the creature, and I think you push a triangle. I didn't know either until I was doing like deep research for this, and I was like, what? Yeah, So I was surprised about that too.
And I will say the only thing, I mentioned this a little bit already, is that my big complaint when it came to combat is that I really tried to use that great knife as soon as I got it, and it was just not functional.
Oh man, but no. It's very powerful. It's slow, but it looks cool.
It was amazing. I was like, I want to use this the rest of the game. And then I got into that fight, I think, is the doorman fight after you close to when you get the knife?
It's the boss battle.
Whatever fight follows you getting the great knife, I almost died, and I was like, all right, this is not happening. I pulled the shotgun.
Yeah, it was the abstract daddy then.
Yeah, it was like, this is not functioning.
Did you try the knife on Eddie?
No. No, I didn't. When he had a gun, I got nervous and I just unloaded. Another big thing for gameplay for me, and this is, I'm not sure if this is a constant for the series, but the map in this game, as well as in Silent Hill 1, but even more so in this, it blows me away at how good the map is.
The map system in Silent Hill is a godsend.
It's revolutionary.
I love it. I love the little notes. I love telling me what doors don't work.
And when you find stuff it updates for you, you don't have to do anything with it. It is
exactly.
It is amazing. And there are so many games that if they just did a little bit of what Konami did here, it would change the way the game plays.
Resident Evil, the earlier ones.
I have no problem with Resident Evil, but that's, I'm a...
I've been, I replayed Resident Evil 2, the original, and then right now I'm currently streaming Dino Crisis, and that map is a piece of shit. It doesn't even tell me where I am on the map. Nothing's labeled. I'm like, I don't know where I am, and the map is not helping me. I know I need to get to the box over there, but I don't know where I am.
No, and actually, I had a little bit of difficulty the very first time I played Resident Evil 4 when I was a kid, and the map in that sometimes is helpful, and other times is just not. And I was in the castle, and I was just absolutely lost. But in this game, I don't know. Justin, do you agree? I just think the map.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. If I had to look at, weirdly enough, it's like the best part is just I could look at that map all day and all of these games. They nailed it out of the gate with the first one.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. I haven't really played the last two, Downpour and Home.
You haven't played Downpour?
Well, I have played it, but I've only played it once, I think. And I
love the map in that one.
Is it styled the same way? I can't really remember.
It's styled similarly. You'll mock off where you are and stuff, but I love the map there. It was very neat looking.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it carried, because the only ones I really remember really well are 1 through 4. I don't think I ever finished Origins either, so I don't know if it's the same there.
Yeah, all the maps across the games they function similarly.
Thank God. Oh,
yeah. Well, that's good.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The next thing I wanted to talk about with you guys is, so maybe this will be controversial. You'll have to let me know. I found the enemies kind of boring.
That's not controversial.
All right, not design-wise, just kind of presence-wise, especially compared to, the pterodactyls and the dogs and the demon children of the original.
Yeah.
But I do also get, there's a more deep
reasoning. Have a reason.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, it wasn't a pro, it wasn't a con, it was more as a point, and I want to know if you guys agreed. It was they're cool-looking and stuff, but they weren't threatening. And that's my next point, was that all the bosses were easy. And Pyramid Head as a boss, to me at least, was kind of a letdown. I only played on normal. Maybe if you played on hard, or I think extra is the one past that, maybe it's a lot harder. But the game wasn't that difficult, and I was kind of a little bit let down about that.
No, that's not controversial at all. Okay. It is. Yeah. I consider it the easiest game. It's very relaxing playing through.
It was.
You don't have to
really
worry too much. Yeah. But your comment about Pyramid Head, it kind of loops back to how you view him as a monster. Is he really there to kill James, or is he trying to make him face up the truth?
Yeah, because I mean, once
clearing
James,
the path.
Yeah, because once James kind of understands what he has to do, I mean, they kill themselves. They impale themselves.
You notice that he's always trying to kill Maria because she's distracting him from what he's here to do.
Yeah.
And like I said, maybe going back and playing through it again, because I do actually have a desire to play it again on the hardest difficulty, just because I'm a glutton like that.
And you want mm-hmm. the dog ending.
I don't want the dog ending. but, like, maybe it would change it, but I don't know. Like, it's probably my own fault is I kind of built Pyramid Head up to be, like, a Mr. X. Like, it's a movable force that's just in your way. And I really didn't feel like I got that from him. Like, he was definitely deviant, and he definitely, like, disturbed me. But he wasn't, like I said, I kind of was imagining him to be, like, Mr. X, and I just didn't get that.
He's a lurker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, on hard mode, it's super hard when you're running with Maria. She dies a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's able to, like, you know that little corridor under the hospital? Yes. Where she dies for the first time? Dude is a fast walker. He's, like, on her. He, like, teleports right behind her. It's like, oh, God.
All right. So with that, I want to get into my cons. And the first one, and I actually messaged Justin because I noticed this right away, and it definitely continued throughout the game. What the hell was up with the camera? Like, there was problems in the first Silent Hill with the camera. This one
not this bad though.
This one took it to another level.
What issues did you have?
So the way it, like, shook, the way you really couldn't control, like, what you were looking at, and how you couldn't force the camera to go in a different direction. I really, mm-hmm. it never caused me to die. It never caused any issues. It was more just frustrating. And when it was shaking, it kind of gave me a little bit of motion yeah. sickness kind of thing.
It kind of sucks when, I remember when I recently played this in December, I remember I was in Brookhaven and I got stuck in a corner and these nurses were coming at me and I'm like, I can't see them and I'm stuck mm-hmm. and the camera's not helping me.
Yeah, there's actually one time where I couldn't see where a demon was calling out from, and all of a sudden, like, the wall in front of me started, like, glitching and I could see through the wall to the corridor and then I saw it. I was like, okay.
Wait, what version did you play?
I got lucky. I actually have the non-greatest hits, like the original release on the PlayStation 2.
Oh, then you wouldn't be able to get the UFO ending or the Maria sub-scenario. I was going to ask if you guys played that as well.
Oh. I've played, because I have the black, quote-unquote, like the black label.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Mm-hmm. Silent Hill 2, but also... have the controversial HD collection. So I have played a
lot. Why is it controversial? Is that a dumb question?
Oh boy.
Oh, sorry.
That's an episode on its own. Yeah, there's yeah. a lot of issues with it.
But I've played maybe like 5 minutes of, I think it's Born From a Wish, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. I never actually finished it.
I'm surprised because you get a little bit, it's a really short little sub scenario. It only takes like 30 minutes. You can get through it. But you learn about Maria's origins, where she came from, and stuff like that.
There's more to her than just like a manifestation of James Guilt.
Well, that's you kind of see her more as her own person.
Okay.
And you kind of feel bad for her because she just sort of popped into existence.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, she has her own like kind of. She keeps saying like, I'm not Mary, but. She is there because of Mary. So I can see that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. The town made her mm-hmm. to, I guess, tempt James and whatnot. Apparently, she's based off of, you'll learn in Silent Hill 3, there's like an Easter egg. You'll see a flyer.
Okay.
And you'll see the Lady Maria. She's like a stripper of some kind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And then the next con that I had, and I'm not sure if this is fixed in the, I didn't know there was an HD collection, but, body parts kept glitching
hold on,
in
hold
and
on,
out.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. If you're thinking something is fixed in the HD collection, it's probably the other way.
I was just thinking really that. I was like, bad? Oh, man. Yes, yeah. It's horrible.
Right. Yeah, it was a horrible port.
Okay.
I hate it.
But yeah, like...
You guys should play the... do you guys have the PC version?
No.
Fans have,
didn't even know
fans have made the Enhanced Edition.
It's
so great.
So here in Canada... the cheapest copy of Silent Hill 2 for the PC I could find is about $300.
Oh, Lord.
That's pretty much how it is here, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the actual, you know, retail copy, I mean, people are selling them between $150 and like $400.
Lord have mercy.
I wish they would put them out on Steam, but if you happened, you know, find a copy that fell off the back of a truck, there's... these fans have been working on a patch to make it like the best version ever. They're fixing a lot of the bugs that were, was an issue with the port on the PC, enhancing graphics. I can send you guys the link to the enhanced edition, but it's just gorgeous what they've been able to do.
Yeah, sure. With it. But yeah, like yeah, I said, sure. I had body parts glitching in and out.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
Yeah. And like I said, me and Justin were talking about it, and I never realized this until we started doing this, but I didn't realize that like Final Fantasy was so far above and beyond, and it kind of like blew my mind that like Final Fantasy X and this game came out in the same year.
With like this... Well, like I said, like Square back then especially was very much I wasn't
aware of that, but that's why when we were talking about it, especially with this con I had in mind. And then like, the last con I had we can kind of talk about is that I don't know why, because I had no problems with this in the first game, but the tank controls at time in this, especially when it came to like strafing and stuff, really caused me some issues.
Oh, I had no problems with it.
It was weird because I had no issues the first time in one, but this time, like a couple times, it threw me off.
I don't think I had issues either.
The boat in particular is what I'm thinking about. The boat was a miserable situation.
How were you? Can I ask, how were you rowing?
Like I would a tank. So left, right, and forward.
You were twisting the little analog sticks,
no,
right?
No, I used the D-pad. I didn't know you could use the analog for this game.
Yeah, use the analog. Okay. It will be a lot easier.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, you were using the D-pad for this whole game?
Yeah.
Surprise.
Oh my god, no wonder why you had issues.
I can't play tank controls with the analog. It throws me off.
No, trust me, next time you play, just play with the analog. It's so much easier. Right. Oh my god.
I've been playing a lot of Mortal Kombat, so I'm used to the D-pad. That's
but
on me.
Did you get kind of like confused what you were supposed to do in the boat? Did you know right away to go towards the light?
It made sense. Oh, like, yeah. I saw it when I got, like, when we were getting in the boat, you could see the light across the lake, and then it kind of disoriented you, and I figured that you probably wanted to, like, point yourself towards the light and go to it. It just kind of made sense. But, all right, there you go. So, gameplay scores. I gave it an 8.
I gave it an 8 as well.
Gave it a 7?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm not up to... It's just okay, you know? It's nothing special. The tank controls and the enemies. I mean, the enemies are way too easy. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a lot of a challenge to it.
No, I definitely agree with that.
So I just give it like a passing grade for that.
Perfect. All right, so now moving on to audio. And the first thing I want to say, and I'm sure we can talk for a few minutes about this, is my lord, the music in this game is just... perfect. Like I love it.
And I think like this series itself is especially like themes and just like general atmospheric music, like it's always really good. I again, this is way down the line. I think it kinda loses all that when they stop using the like quote unquote Silent Hill theme for Downpour.
Is it Downpour when you're talking about that has the corn singer?
I think so.
Yeah, that's Downpour, but that's not really their fault. They couldn't hire Akira. That was their first choice. Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think Konami said no Akira. I don't know. Maybe he pissed them off or something.
Oh.
So
my God.
They found the next best thing.
I mean, I love Korn. Yeah. I haven't heard this yet. Right? I haven't played it, but
Korn. That was a little weird. But the actual music in the game was by Daniel Litt. He did Dexter and whatnot.
Oh, really?
He had a more he had more of a cinematic feel. But there was some cues in there where you're like, oh, that kind of sounds like an Akira type thing.
Okay.
So it's not too strange.
All right.
But I definitely missed Akira.
All right, perfect.
Yeah. I think everybody did.
All right, so my next point is, it's definitely a pro, but it's also still a con, is that the voice acting in this game was miles better than in Silent Hill, but there were still some very cringy moments.
Yes, I think far and above, Monica Taylor Horgan was like the best.
Is she Maria like, Mary?
Yes, she's like the best in all of Silent Hill games. Her performance
she was
knocks
amazing.
It out of the park.
I kind of like the girl who played Laura. No, that little girl, right? Yeah, Laura.
Laura.
I thought that was pretty good, but no. I was thinking in particular, I thought Mary Maria, whatever the actress's name who did that, she was phenomenal. Like I said, I almost started crying when she was reading that letter. But between Eddie, Angela, and sometimes James, there were some like cringy reactions. I think I wrote down one thing he said that I was like,
maybe I didn't. How can you sit there eating pizza?
though, this town is full of monsters. I was like, come on, man. You're doing so good. You phoned it in here.
Hey, just be happy it wasn't like that the whole way through, okay?
And that's why I said it's more of a pro than a con, but there's still is a little bit of a con.
Yeah, I definitely feel that Eddie, to me, is definitely the weakest character.
Especially now talking to you guys, finding out that there is no deeper meaning to him other than he's just another tortured soul.
Yeah, and I think it's cool having these other tortured souls in there, but
he doesn't deserve a 2-stage boss fight. I don't care much about him. We fought him longer than we fought Pyramid Head.
Yeah.
He's hella strong because, wow, he could take shotgun blasts in the stomach. No problem.
Yeah, he can. but yeah, like I said, like I feel like there are some great performances. It's definitely leagues above the original. But still, there are some cringy voice acting moments.
I think you're really going to like Silent Hill 3. It has some great voice acting in it.
I'm a sucker for good acting.
You know Angela? She's voiced by Donna Burke. She has a kind of weird voice in this one, but she kills it as Claudia in Silent Hill 3.
Oh, she comes back?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I won't lie. Like, I wrote about it. We talked about it in the first review, but this is... my first foray into the series, and I've heard people talk about how it starts really going downhill, but right now I'm on that high, and I'm very, very much enjoying it.
I definitely think that high, I mean, definitely carries over to 3. I mean, personally, for me, it's 4 when it kind of... I mean, I still enjoy 4. I just think that's where it kind of starts to falter a little bit.
Okay.
4 used to be the black sheep.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And then,
I think... Anyways.
Okay, yeah, and then the last pro that I have... this is actually the last point I have on audio, is that all the atmospheric noises, including the sounds of the monsters, were different, unique, and in their own way, if not scary, unnerving.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, actually, so I play games while I walk on the treadmill a lot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I had this set up to walk on the treadmill and play Silent Hill 2. I found out very quickly with all the terrifying noises that would make me turn my head even after I've played this game, like, I don't know, probably like maybe 12 times. I still had to, like, just stop doing it that way because I couldn't, like, these noises still unnerve me.
Yeah,
to this day.
And I play with, like, these noise-canceling headphones I have on, and they're just amazing. Like, I felt like I was in the game. I sit here in front of my computer screen, because I have my monitor plugged into it, right? Playing this game in the dark, and it's just great. And you feel like you're in these environments, and I'm really thankful for it. Like, it's little things like that, especially when it comes to survival horror games that are immersive, that really take it up a notch, and I was very thankful for it.
What's interesting about the sound is there's certain sounds that... they're randomized, so sometimes you won't even hear it. So in the apartments, I forget which room, but there's a room
with you'll the hear breathing. Whispering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that won't always happen in your playthroughs. So different playthroughs, you'll hear different sounds.
There was one time, like, much of it happened to you guys. I think I was in the prison where, like, I tried to open a bathroom stall and I walked away and it, like, charged at
it. It screamed. Yeah.
And then I went back and there was nothing there.
Yeah. Ones that get me are like sudden like crashes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll jump. So like in the hospital when a glass breaks, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
No, for sure.
What did you think about the prisoner enemy in the prison, the one that was behind the bars that was just making the weird noises and kind of like a chanting noise? Did you notice him?
I guess was he in like the cells?
Yeah, you couldn't.
I thought it was invisible. Just a patient demon. Like I ran through there, and I didn't even notice that there was more than that.
Yeah, so this creature is invisible. You can actually shoot at it, and I think kill it.
Oh wow!
But it just makes weird. It just paces back and forth and makes these weird noises and chanting. You know what I thought was really creepy?
What?
Was in the prison, just hearing when I was trying to solve the puzzle in the courtyard.
Okay.
Hearing, like, the horses after you solved it and with the horseshoe. I thought that sound was so creepy.
I did not hear that.
You didn't? Oh, just because you solve it and you get the next...
The horseshoe on the door.
Item, yeah. The horseshoe on the door. You'll hear a horse running around in the background. Yeah, I always thought that was really creepy.
Damn. Yeah, this game just, it takes it up a notch, really, for sound. Mm-hmm. Like, they thought of everything.
Yeah. No, I totally, yeah. totally, totally agree. Yeah, so I guess with that, we can wrap this section up, too. I gave it an 8.
I give it a 10.
10.
You guys are crazy. There's still some cringy voice acting. It's not perfect. You're
it doesn't
you are,
matter. That
you are
doesn't
all
matter.
Nuts. It is not perfect. I liked it a lot, but it's not perfect. Whatever. Y'all are nuts. On to how scary. And I think this, at least for me, this might be where I diverge from you two.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. The big takeaway for me is that this game is absolutely sad and disturbing and, like, emotionally taxing. Like, I don't think that's questionable at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain sequences we talked about, we can kind of go into them too, but, like, Pyramid Head's intro, Maria's multiple deaths, Jane's big reveal, like, all that stuff, right? But to me, it was more of just, like, an emotional story. Like, I kind of felt like I was just, because of how easy the game was in the end, I felt like it was more just, like, a very emotional...
Did you feel drained?
Yeah. Like, just... I was, like, especially when she read that letter, I was just, like, I don't know, it really took its toll on me, And
made you depressed.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Like, I absolutely see, like, there are some scary moments. Like, when that one thing crawled off underneath the car when I was walking around, running into Pyramid Head when I went down there and grabbed the great knife in his little torture chamber area. Like, there were sequences that were scary. The first appearance of the doorman was actually pretty spooky, too. But in the end, like, I didn't feel like I played a horror game. Do you know what I mean? Because it wasn't...
No,
I don't know. Like, what do you guys think?
I didn't think it was too scary.
Yeah, I definitely, it's not the scariest.
Okay.
It was, it has scary, I guess, aspects, but while I was playing it, I know I wasn't afraid of really anything. Yeah. It was just more like depressed, like just depression.
And I'm not sure if that comes from the gameplay being easy. Like, I'm not sure if you played it, like... Maybe if you played it on the very first time, like, on hard the whole time, right? So there was a lot of more challenge. But just playing it on normal and just experiencing the story, my big takeaway isn't horror. It's, like you said, like, emotionally taxing storytelling.
Draining.
And hearing that it's based on Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky, like, I see it. I absolutely see it. I mean, the Russian writers from back in that time, like, were incredibly depressing. Like, that was the entire point of their writing, was just... slogging through sadness, and that's kind of what I get from this, which is why, like, I was talking about, if I got that damn dog ending in the first time, and I know you can't, but I would have been furious.
Yeah, like oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go. I was just gonna make a joke. I said, wait till you get to Homecoming.
Oh, yeah,
you get mad.
Oh, god, yeah. Oh, Larry, we are gonna play some shit. But no, like, it definitely feels, it's just like, it's almost like it's just really unnerving. It's,
yeah.
Nothing really is there to, like, nothing ever really put the fear in me that, like...
It was like being paranoid.
Or uncomfortable.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
But I definitely was never, like we've played some scary things. Like, I mean, The Forest. I don't, Whitney, have you ever played The Forest?
No,
one of the
haven't.
Best games I ever played. I'm so thankful me and Justin played that.
Really? Yeah. Is it on PC?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so yeah.
Basically, I'll definitely have to play it then. I'm looking for games to stream.
Yeah, you crash land on an island. Your son gets kidnapped by what looks to be a cannibal, and you have to go in these caves and find him.
And that game was terrifying.
And we played this together.
Game, yeah, we played the whole thing co-op, and, like...
Oh, it's co-op.
Yeah, up to four people.
And, like, afterwards...
Do you have to play with people?
Nope.
Okay.
After we would play for... Because we, I mean, I think we played, like, 3 hours at a time. We
if
played
not
it
more,
twice.
Yeah.
Three. Yeah. Well, then there was that one thing that happened, but we don't talk about that anymore.
No, I still feel bad about that one.
Yeah. but, like, after playing that game, I would think about how, like, I would be worried to walk around in the house at night.
Mm-hmm.
Playing this game, I, like, yeah, it was unnerving, but nothing really, like, scared me to the point where, like, it stuck with me at all.
Like, even Dead by Daylight, when we played that one, right? Like, it's a much different kind of video game, but getting popped out, like, Michael coming up tier 3 and behind you, like, that was terrifying, right? And even Detention yeah. had a more scary atmosphere. Have you played Detention? It's another indie game. It's a...
I've started it. I haven't.
I love that game. Too. Justin's yeah. introduced me to a lot of indie games, and I'm just loving them.
So,
but
what I'm getting here is you didn't feel very stressed out playing correct. This game.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
It's I guess it's a very mellow game.
Yeah. No.
I felt more stressed playing Silent Hill 1.
I totally like, agree. Yeah. And that's what I'm gonna say. I'm not trying to knock it because it's still a good game. I still really, really enjoyed this game. Like, I don't want to be taken that way. But we're talking about how scary the game is, and I just don't think it's as scary as games playing this podcast or other games I've played. So that's kind of like my big takeaway.
No, I agreed. Agree. Yeah, and like it's weird kind of I don't actually think I play I try to make it a point to play this game every year. I think I actually missed playing it last year, and I think taking that year off has kind of made me switch gears to, you know what, maybe I do like 3 more, because I feel like 3 is like goes back to that horror roots, but again, I haven't played 3 in like years. Yeah, so.
And like
3 gets pretty intense.
And yeah. and I think I give better scores to Silent Hill 2. Like, I think in the end, I'm not sure what it's going to end up being here. We're done with giving our scores and stuff, but it got better scores. But I still think I prefer the original Silent Hill.
Just, like scare wise, definitely.
I would say game wise, yeah. If I were to pick between really? These yeah. two to play, I think I would play the first Silent Hill.
Well, Silent Hill 1's my favorite, so yeah. I agree.
If I'm ranking it right now is what I've played, that's where I'm at. But so I guess with that, guys, we'll give our last score, give the final score, rank it, and then we need to pick a subgenre. But first, I gave it 6.5, guys, for how scary.
I would give it a 5.
I actually gave it a 5 as well. Wow, Larry, I thought you were going like 2.
No, because like I said, we've talked about this before, Justin, and it's why I want to play Alice Madness Returns on the podcast, and it's also why I want to review Ex Machina and movies like that, is that I don't think horror needs, like, we defined it, right? I don't think horror needs to be spilling my drink, falling out of my chair, right? There's something to be said for the horror that sits in your head and, like, makes you think, like, I'm going to be thinking about this game for a long time. Like the turmoil of James, and, like, especially knowing, like, this was, like, the first game to kind of do that, I mean, there's a lot to unpack, and that
I guess the big difference. Too. I guess the big difference is, like, if you think about, like, Whitney and I have had literal years to mm-hmm. process this. I keep forgetting, Larry, that this is your first time playing this game.
Yes,
I can't believe you've gone this long right. without playing it. It's like always on the best of lists.
I've been on him for a long time that we need to play this game.
All right. So review summary. For plot, I gave it an 8. Justin gave it an 8. Whitney gave it a 10. For gameplay, Justin and I both gave it 8. Whitney gave it a 7. For audio, I gave it an 8. Justin and Whitney gave it a 10. For how scary, I gave it a 6.5. And Justin and Whitney gave it 5s. That gives it an official Here's Johnny score of a 78% C+.
We're in line with the magazine reviews of the
time. Oh, really? Yes. The original Silent Hill got 80%.
Yeah.
So it's actually rated below that. And in our total ranking list, it is right below the original Silent Hill, like I said, 80%, and right above the original Suspiria that has a 75%.
Okay. All right. I can live with that.
And like I said, we talked about this before. Like, sometimes these scores don't really necessarily represent, like, what we actually feel about the game. Like, I really did like this game.
Yeah, I don't feel it's a 7 in my heart.
Yeah.
It's just when you break it down on those aspects, it's like gameplay is not very good.
Exactly.
And it's not very scary, but I love it. I love the plot. I love the journey, the characters. You know.
No, I absolutely and totally agree. So the last thing we need to really do before we wrap this all thing up is, Whitney, I know you listened to a couple episodes. We do subgenres, right? We do like seasons based on the subgenres. And we need to place Silent Hill 2 into one of our subgenres. Our options okay. are Aliens, and don't any of you pick it. Deranged Man.
Hold on. Well, there is an ending.
I know there that, but that is that the canon ending?
No, the dog ending's canon.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is.
Wait, is it actually?
Don't mess with me, Whitney. I put a lot of trust in you. You can't mess with me. You're a Guinness World Record holder.
There's no canonical okay. ending. It's just the ending I choose to be.
Okay. All right, so we have Aliens, Deranged Man, Ghosts, Kaiju, Mad Scientist, Religion, Transformed Man, Vampires, Witchcraft, and Zombies.
Well, I hear like Deranged Man and Transform Man, because depending on how you played
So the way we say Transform Man, and it was a way to kind of put a bunch of different things together, but transformed is we're talking about werewolves, like hill people who are we try to make a broad term to put a lot
of... you don't mean like transform in terms of your correct. Mindset you
yes
mean
like extra, that would be okay. Deranged Man. Yeah, that's why I was saying if I were to pick, like, narrow down the two categories, and we don't do aliens, guys, I would say Deranged Man or Ghosts was kind of where I was falling.
Yeah, I'd lean more heavily towards Deranged Man, yeah, because it's all about him coming to terms with his own delusions and guilt.
No, I can absolutely get behind that. Justin, are you cool with that?
100%.
All right, perfect. So, guys, that's the Silent Hill 2 review. Whitney, before we let you go, why don't you tell us about all the different projects you're a part of, your social media and stuff, so our listeners can find you.
Oh, okay. I run several fan sites. I have a Deadly Premonition fan site, fkinthecoffee.com. I also have a Silent Hill fan site, it's silenthillhistoricalsociety.com. I also have started a new Let's Play channel where I'm doing in-depth Let's Plays. I just finished my in-depth Let's Play of Silent Hill 1, where I would discuss all the Easter eggs, the plot, the development, sort of like what I kind of did with this podcast, but better.
I think you learned a bunch. I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
I stumbled so much over my words.
It's okay. You're just getting started out. You smoothed into it.
Yeah. So I'm actually planning to do Silent Hill 2 next. I also am currently trying to raise money for Extra Life. I'm doing streams, playing a lot of horror games either that I loved or I have never finished. Right now I'm doing Dino Crisis, which I never finished. So it's my new YouTube channel. It's called Whitney Plays. I also run Silent Hill Historical Society on YouTube. There's a bunch of like Silent Hill related videos on there, but I'm more focused on my Whitney Plays and my Welcome to Greenville YouTube channel. I also have a Silent Hill podcast if you guys are interested.
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cool.
Uh-huh. It's been dormant for about 4 years because I was pretty bummed about Silent Hills being canceled. But last Saturday, I recorded a new episode where I talked to my friends and had an in-depth discussion on the original game. And next up is going to be Silent Hill 2. So this is nice practice.
I'm glad we can be practiced for you.
Yeah. It's Voices in the Static. It's also on my website. Right. Social media. My personal account is Kemi_Ro.
What is that, if you want me to ask? What is that? Is that significant for anything?
I'm a fan of My Chemical Romance, so it's just Kemi awesome. And then Rum.
That's great.
I also run a Twitter for my Silent Hill website. That's sh_historical. Mm-hmm. I also run a Deadly Premonition Twitter, which is Red Seed's profile. Yep. And I also have Facebook pages for both of my fan sites. I have one for Welcome to Greenville and Silent Hill Historical Society. I think that's it.
Man, I kind of feel bad for bitching about having to do this work for one podcast. You got to do it for like 17 things.
I'm also kind of a part of Reliant Horror, their staff. They do horror game news and stuff. I join in with them on their podcasts and their commentaries and whatnot.
Awesome.
Movie commentaries.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, I'm all over the place.
Yeah, Whitney, we are so thankful you came on. Like when Justin and I were planning, like I said, especially when we decided to do Silent Hill 2 and after you sent the email for our Silent Hill review, like, we just decided, like, we were going to take a shot, and we're happy you made the time to come on. It's just, like, we love talking to people who love horror, and especially people who have passion about the things we're talking about. So to have you on for this, I wish we had known you better. We could have had you on for Deadly Premonition. You could have blown us away.
Would have talked your ear off about
making them too. But with that, guys, that's the end of our Silent Hill 2 review. Make sure you check out Whitney on her stuff. And that's the end.
Do you ever watch a horror movie and think, oh, wow, that headshot didn't have nearly enough blood? Don't the writers know that 20% of your blood is in your head?
Are you the type of person that tells your friends, well, why yes, in space no one can hear you scream because the molecules are too far apart to transmit sound waves?
Does it seriously annoy you when a horror movie doesn't explain its rules to you or claims to have horror rules and then just ignores them?
Do you ever express these concerns to your friends who tell you that you should stop worrying so much because it's just a horror movie, Sam?
Then stop lecturing your friends about physics and come listen to our podcast, That's Not How Science Works, which I co-host with my awesome friend, Nicole.
In our podcast, Caitlin and I discuss science in different pieces of media, such as movies or TV shows, in various genres, and dissect whether that science is good, bad, or just plain ridiculous. Often, we also have special guests who help us rant about bad science in their areas of expertise.
We release new episodes every other Monday, and you can find us wherever you usually download your podcasts. We like to think of this as a podcast for the science curious. Whether you're Sam with a dedicated YouTube channel complaining about bad science and horror movies, or just like to learn things while listening to friends banter about what they watched that week, we'd love for you to listen in.
You can find out more by going to our website, thatsnotscience.com, or by looking us up on Twitter at @thnhswpod. We hope you give us a listen. Now back to your regularly scheduled horror enthusiasts, Larry and Justin, and that's definitely a word that's a real word and not a word that I just made up, and whatever terrifying thing they're discussing that would probably give me daymares for a week.
Justin, that was a longer episode, so I think we'll keep it short and sweet. First, foremost, and most importantly, Whitney, thank you for coming on and educating us about this awesome game.
Yeah, you have, like, incredible knowledge in... I mean, not only this game, but Silent Hill 1, Deadly Premonition. Like,
yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to Silent Hill 3. I've been calling the local game shop once a week just to see if a copy comes in. But yeah, guys, hopefully you enjoyed this too. Make sure you definitely go check out Whitney and all her stuff. She's awesome, and her Instagram page is fantastic. A bunch of Silent Hill memorabilia. And I think that's pretty much it, Justin. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this episode up?
No, just thank you again, Whitney. It was a lot of fun.
All right, guys. So, with all being said, until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at @heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.